forget.
1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com now has voter guides available. Visit FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, and other important issues. Again, that's FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are today continuing and completing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. And we're doing this because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Those are two passages from Proverbs 14:34 and Proverbs 29:2. So if people rejoice when the righteous are in authority, and we in America have the right and responsibility to vote for those who would be in authority, then it's important for us to, as many of our founding fathers said, to select Christians to rule and to Christians to be in authority. And we have been going over several issues, biblical issues, and I would encourage you, study the Bible, read the Bible. The Bible, when you do, just have a view that the Bible speaks not only to your life, but to your family, to your church, to His church, to God's church universally, and to government, local, state, and federal government. Those terms aren't found in the Bible, but the founding fathers actually derived local, federal, local, state, and federal from Exodus chapter 18. And so we're just going to quickly review some of the things that we have talked about. We are quoting from the Bible. We're also quoting from founding fathers, not because we believe founding fathers are equal with the Bible, but so that you can see, because so many people have lied and have said, well, you know, in America, there should be a separation of church and state. And that meaning or that phrase is taken to mean that Christians can't be involved in government and that Christians shouldn't have anything to do with government. And there are even some Christians that believe that, some churches that believe that, that will not educate their congregation on what the Bible says about government and where the candidates stand on those issues. But when we looked at the issues from the Bible, we see, first of all, that rulers must recognize God as our creator. This is the start. If you believe that God is the creator, you know that we are subject to His laws. If you don't, then we can be a law unto ourselves, and we can do whatever we want to do. Rulers must read God's law and fear and obey God. We need to look for people that actually read the Bible. And this is important to actually look at. Rulers must be just. Judges must be just. When we select judges, we need to actually make sure that those judges are just judges. We also see that rulers should honor God, and this is vitally important. Rulers must defend innocent human life, and really, according to the Bible, without exception. And the only really exception is when someone commits a capital offense, which means that they're not innocent. Once they've been convicted, they're not innocent, so the laws actually protect even the guilty until they are actually convicted of their crime. And rulers must defend marriage. Rulers must defend boys and girls from mutilation. There are boys and girls that are going to school today in certain states that actually come home as the opposite sex. and this is wrong. And we have boys going into girls' locker rooms, boys being on girls' swim teams and other things. This is wrong. It is evil. And we need to actually support and elect representatives who will oppose such foolishness. Rulers must return the law of God, the Bible, prayer, and creation science to schools, to public schools. The Bible was the primary reading book at the founding of this country, when the First Amendment was actually enacted, when the Bill of Rights was enacted. The Bible was the primary reading book in society. And so people learned the law of God. We also saw that rulers must live within their means. They must stay within their delegated authorities and provide checks and balances to others. We talked about limited government. Biblically, there is limited government. Do for yourself what you can do. What you can't do, then we look to the local government, and what the local government can't do, the state government should do. And whatever this, only what the state government or the local government or you yourself can do, that's the only thing that the federal government should actually be involved in. Rulers must also keep the rule of law. So we talked about this last week, that God has appointed civil magistrates to be in authority. And yet we have in this country, in some places, some prosecutors have refused to actually prosecute crimes. And even in places where they do prosecute crimes, you know, unless the offense is to a certain level, really, they don't really take it seriously. Even police don't take it seriously sometimes. Rulers must support biblical criminal justice reform. We hear a lot about criminal justice reform, but it needs to be biblical. Rulers must defend Israel. Rulers must protect our border and also not allow the mistreatment of strangers. Rulers must defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and rulers must also protect property rights. And so we're going to actually continue today, and we're going to start out with some quotes from founding fathers. Patrick Henry said this: whether this new government will prove a blessing or a curse will depend upon the use our people make of the blessings which a gracious God has bestowed on us. If they are wise, they will be great and happy. If they are of a contrary character, they will be miserable. Righteousness alone exalts a nation, quoting from Proverbs 14:34. Reader, whoever thou art, remember this, and in all thy sphere practice virtue thyself, and encourage it in others. Thomas Jefferson, who many say, well, he was not Christian, he was just an atheist. Well, here's what we see. Thomas Jefferson saying, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis of conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are the gift of God? They are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and that his justice cannot sleep forever. So the first new topic that we're going to talk about today is that rulers must defend the right to bear arms. And defend yourself. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 2, we read, if a thief is found breaking in, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. And this is part of what is known as the case laws of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 20, you have the Ten Commandments. And in chapters 21 through 23, most of that is actually case laws that apply and show them how the Ten Commandments should be applied to criminal justice. And we've gone over some of those when we talked about criminal justice reform last week. But one of those principles is that you have the right to defend yourself. And you have the right to defend yourself with even lethal force to defend your family and your house, even with lethal force. The Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States has a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And there are some that say, well, that doesn't mean that you should be able to have a gun. It just means that there should be a militia. Well, here's what Noah Webster said. You know, let's go back to the Founding Fathers and see what the Founding Fathers actually said about these types of things. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom of Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be on any purpose raised in the United States. A military force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional, for they will possess the power, and jealousy will instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of a law which appears to them to be unjust and oppressive. So you see that Noah Webster actually believed that the people should hold the power to be even more powerful in their combined forces than the United States Army. Rulers must also love liberty. And we read from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, which is inscribed on the liberty belt, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. And then Psalm 119, verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Benjamin Franklin said this, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. One of the quotes that we read earlier from one of the Founding Fathers said that people would actually be ruled either by the law of God or by the bayonet. And so that's a very similar principle that Benjamin Franklin is saying here. John Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, second president of the United States, and really someone who, without him, we may not have a United States. It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. John Adams also said, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any others. And Samuel Adams said this, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. So we want liberty and we need liberty, but we have actually already talked about this a little bit more earlier. Liberty cannot be obtained without following God and obeying his commandments. and conforming our lives to His law. We are blessed as a nation when we obey God, and we are cursed as a nation when we disobey Him. If you don't believe me, read the book of Deuteronomy. Read the law of God. Read the prophets. You'll see that Israel was cursed. And there are some that may say, well, that was the Old Testament. You know, well, the Bible says, Jesus said in the New Testament that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Jesus said that the law of God, He didn't come to replace the law, but to fulfill the law of God. We do see God's judgment in society still today, and it is because of disobeying God's commandments and violating His precepts. The Founding Fathers believed this very much. The Pilgrims and the Puritans, we've talked about how when there was a drought, when there was an Indian uprising, when there was conflict, during the Revolutionary War, leading up to the Revolutionary War, after the Revolutionary War, any time we were at a time where we needed help, not only did they pray to God for help, they also examined their own lives and called for days of fasting and prayer and to amend their ways and to put off wickedness so that God would bless them and give them the victory. We also see that rulers must support faith in the public square. And for this, we're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. What had happened in chapter 3 was there was a lame man who had been lame a very long time who actually was healed, and people were really rejoicing. And really what the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, were concerned about is that they were going to start becoming Christian. And they didn't want that. They really were jealous. They were jealous of Jesus, and they were jealous of the work of the church. And in Acts chapter, what they did is they actually arrested the apostles. And then they brought them before them in Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak those things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And then in verse 29, well, what happened was the apostles went back to the other Christians and they told them what had happened. And then they started praying and they started imploring God and they started calling for God to judge the wicked. And in verse 29, they actually pray for more boldness. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now, this is amazing when you consider that this same group of people had Jesus arrested and crucified and had just thrown them into jail because they were preaching about Jesus, and then they warn them, and the Apostle Peter says, hey, listen, you can decide whether it's right to do what it to preach in this name, but we're going to do this. We're going to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 13 talks about obeying the government, but there's a limitation when the government prohibits you from obeying God or commands you to disobey God. Choose who, what you believe is right, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Every time in the Bible, when you see people being ordered to violate God's commandments or to stop obeying his commandments, you see the people of God actually rising up and continuing to obey God or refusing to disobey him. The First Amendment of the Constitution, which is commonly used to actually tell Christians we can't be involved in government, says this: Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So Congress doesn't have the right to say, well, there's going to be a certain religion that's going to be the chief religion. You know, it's going to be the Baptist church, or and in fact, you know, that term, the separation of church and state, comes from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Dansbury Baptists, who were concerned that another denomination of Christianity was going to be determined to be the official religion. And Thomas Jefferson said, no, the First Amendment is establish a clear wall of separation. Now, what this means is that the government can't say, well, Catholics are going to be, the Catholic Church is going to be the official religion of the United States. Or, and of course, you know, they had come from England, where there was the Church of England, where the king was actually the head of the Church of England. So they didn't want anything like that. But the Congress is prohibited from the free exercise of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Christians can still be involved in government and must be involved in government, and we have constitutional rights. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled in 1824, no free government now exists in the world unless where Christianity is acknowledged and is the religion of the country. And so we have gone over various biblical principles, and I want to encourage you to again study the Bible, see what God says about government, and then study where the candidates stand on those issues. And I do want to point you to a resource, Florida Votes Values, or FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com. You want to go to FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com. In St. Lucie County, we have a voter guide for the local races. And in all of the counties across the state, we have links to voter guides for all of the races, federal and state. We don't have local voter guides in other counties, but we will actually have list of candidates who have taken a stand to protect every innocent human life. And so you can go again. You want to go to FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com. Now, I just want to, as we prepare to end this, I want to actually end with a warning to America. And one of the things that God warned the children of Israel was that they were not to become fat and well-fed and forget God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 20, we read, "When you have eaten and are full," God's talking about the blessings that he would give them, "then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who has led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, you shall surely perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. America has been blessed because we as a nation have been obedient to God's commandments. Our founding fathers, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, were obedient to God's commandments. Not wholly, not perfectly, but still their obedience brought about great blessing, and we need to actually return to God and repent of our sins, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face so that he might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com now has voter guides available. Visit FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, and other important issues. Again, that's FloridaValuesVoterGuide.com.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.